This is your chance to make your voice heard during Homeopathy Awareness Week, which runs from 10 to 16 April. This is when we celebrate the birthday of Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy. During Homeopathy Awareness Week 2022 and 2023, we release daily episodes on the Homeopathy Hangout podcast where our listeners shared how homeopathy has impacted their lives. This year, we're doing it again, and it's your chance to make your voice heard. Recording your testimonial is super easy. Simply visit www.speakpipe.com/homeopathy hangout. You don't need to download any special software and you don't need any special equipment. Simply press the record button and record your message. You can even listen back on it before sending. Once I've received your message, it will be added to our daily episodes during Homeopathy Awareness Week. In the recording, you can include any or all of the following: your name, where you're from, how you were first introduced to homeopathy, how it has helped you in your life, your favorite remedies, and why. If you'd like to listen back on our past episodes, check out the Homeopathy Hangout podcast on your favorite podcasting app or by visiting www.homeopathyhangout.com and type the word week in the search box and all the episodes should come out. Or check out episodes 63 to 69 and also 178 to 187. I look forward to sharing your testimonial with the world. Hello, homies. You may hear a bit of panting in the background just for this introduction. I have my two gorgeous doggies and one of our cats lying by my feet as I am recording this. I've got a little studio just outside the house and it gets pretty hot in here on top of the fact that it is a scorching 38 degrees Celsius in Perth today. So I have to turn the aircon off when I'm recording because it's too noisy in the background. So if you're hearing panting, that's what it is, which is very appropriate considering today we have our first animal homeopath on the podcast, which I'm so excited about. I love homeopathy for animals. They respond so quickly and so beautifully to it. And it is such a privilege to have the lovely Brenda Tobin on today to share her passion for healing animals, all sorts of animals, furry, scaly, feathery, you name it, with natural medicine and also a wholesome raw diet. She is also a regular contributor to Dogs Naturally magazine, and you should get some really good takeaways from today's episode. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully it's a bit cooler where you are. Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now your host, Eugenie Kruger. Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. And today we have homeopath Brenda Tobin with us all the way from Northern Michigan. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, Eugenie. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm so excited to have you on today. We got introduced by our friend Sanjay Salunki, who's also been on the podcast. And when I heard you're an animal homeopath, I was so excited because not that many people are aware of how amazing homeopathy is for animals. And I can't wait for us to dig into that today and, you know, help out our furry friends. But maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit about how you got into homeopathy.
Sure. So I got into homeopathy about 22, 23 years ago now. And I don't remember, honestly. It was one of those things that it's like, I don't remember how I got introduced to it, but I did, right at the same time that I was introduced to raw feeding. So I just remember hearing about homeopathy and falling in love with it pretty much immediately and needing to know more all the time. Like, what is this? What more do I need to learn? And I bought my first Materia Medica at a health food store. And I think it was like $40. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. Like, I had never purchased a book that expensive back then. And I just fell in love. I just couldn't get enough. So I started probably just buying books at that time. And then the internet, you know, just looking online and taking free courses, I think, you know, throughout the internet. And then my neighbors and family started asking, like, oh, what should I do for this or what should I do for that? And I actually started with my own animals first. Mm-hmm. And then I started using it on my own family. And then it was just nonstop. And then I was like, you know what? I should just go to school. So I went and here I am. That's amazing. I'm trying to think if it was Mary Greensmith or who it was that we spoke to that said she also started out with homeopathy for her animals and didn't even know you could use them for humans. So that's really cool. That's quite the other way around. And why do you love using homeopathy for your animals? Why do you think this is something that's really beneficial for our furry friends?
Well, first of all, it's, you know, safe, natural, it's effective. There are no side effects. And it works. And, you know, simply put, there's no placebo effect in animals, right? Or children. So if it's the incorrect remedy, well, for anybody, you know, if it's the incorrect remedy, it's just not going to work. But, you know, with the animals, I think that we see, or I see such a beautiful, fast response with animals. I think that our animals throughout the world are over-vaccinated. And that's a huge issue. And also the food that they're being fed is, you know, poor ingredients. So I think that they have a lower level of health, more than humans, I think. But I feel like they respond a lot quicker to homeopathy.
They do. So it's amazing watching them. And as I said, furry friends, I should really expand that to furry, feathery, scaly. Any animals can really benefit from homeopathy, hey?
Yeah.
What sort of animals have you treated?
Well, everything. So I've treated dogs, cats, lizards, birds, farm animals, so chickens, sheep, cows, horses, of course. I think the most unique animal, I guess, would be a bearded dragon.
Oh, they're beautiful. I love them.
Right?
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, do you recall what that was for?
He had fallen and hurt his back leg. He was kind of gimpy and hurt his back leg. I don't remember what, I mean, it might have just been as simple as like arnica, you know, but he recovered and he was fine. Yeah.
Amazing. So for anyone listening to this who for the first time in their life were like, wait, what? You can treat animals with homeopathy? Let's break it down for them a little bit, Brenda. So talk to our listeners about how do you administer homeopathics to animals? Do we have to be a little bit careful with potencies? What do people need to know when they administer a remedy? Do you see such thing as aggravations in them? So you take the floor and just tell our home users and, you know, our people with pets how they can use homeopathy on the animals.
So you're going to administer it almost like, you know, like you would a human. So there's multiple ways. Okay. So the easiest way is just dispense the pellets. I do a lot of dry dosing. So just dispense the pellets into the cap. And I tell people if you can open the animal's mouth, just, you know, simply open the animal's mouth and kind of chuck the pellets to the back of their throat, gently close their mouth, point their nose to the ceiling, and they'll swallow them typically. Okay. Then if you have like absolutely no way that I'm going to be able to bring that to my animal, then I'll tell the owner how to make an aqueous solution by just placing a pellet or two of the selected remedy into a couple ounces of water. And then once it's dissolved, to succuss it or stir it a good 10 times. And then take a, you know, if they have an eyedropper, then they can administer it that way. So a larger animal would be maybe like 10 drops, smaller animal, maybe like 5 drops. If they don't have a dropper, you can also take like a teaspoon. And even if you can open a lip and just drizzle it into their gum or, you know, get it onto their tongue. You can put a pellet into their drinking water. I don't particularly like that because a lot of households have multiple pets in the household. Mm. And also, we want to make sure that they are absolutely getting their medicine. So I like to just do this, the little aqueous solution. But if you have farm animals, you know, sometimes you have to just put it in their everybody's drinking water. So say if it's a herd of cattle. You're not going to go and administer, you know, everybody. So that those kind of cases, you might just stick it right into their drinking water and just hope that everybody gets what they need. But you know, I've treated chickens that way. If there's a flock of chickens and they all have runny stools, you know, then you can just stick some like arsenicum into their water and just make sure that you freshen that up every day or times a day. And they usually do quite well.
I was trying to think which of the guests, was it Joette or somebody said the other day, they just give the chickens the pellets and they pick it up. And I tried it with my chickens, but they must not be very smart because they were not able to do that. Yeah. I just left the pellets there because their shells were quite soft. And so I think I gave them carb or something and just trying to get their shells to, you know, be a little bit harder. And yeah, they just kind of looked at the pellets and were like, we're not touching that.
Yeah. I had a really cool case. This is a personal case of my own. So I have horses, and at the time I had chickens, and my pony kicked one of my chickens in the head, and the chicken ran underneath our porch. And at the time my son was little, and little enough that he could get under the porch. And I said, you know, go get her. And he brought her out, and I'm an empath, so I immediately started feeling nauseated, and I'm like, oh boy, you know. So I grabbed some arnica, I made aqueous solution, and I put her in a dog crate, and you know, dosed her. And I think it was, I dosed her every 15 minutes for the first hour, and after that, she was ready to go. She was like, get me out of this dog crate. She was absolutely fine. And prior to that, you know, I did watch her walk, and she, it was like she had a concussion, really. I mean, she was wobbly, and like I said, I mean, I felt nauseated, and just dosing her. And then she was like, get me out of this crate, I'm fine. And she ate, and then she left. She was fine.
I'm a chicken lover as well, so I can see that this episode very quickly can go into homeopathy for chickens, because I have lots of chicken stories as well. Our rooster got attacked by a fox once, and we managed to get him out, but his head was just hanging. You could see he was like pretty much dead. Like, I don't even know how this thing was, you know, still able to keep his eyes open. But we had some water there. He couldn't even drink water or anything. He was just down and out. And yeah, it was lots of arnica and aconite. And you know, it was 24 hours, and he was, you know, back, you know, the king of the roost. So didn't take much. I was quickly going to clarify something with you, just for our listeners. So when you say aqueous solution, you mean like a liquid solution, right? Where you put the pileals in the water and you succuss them. And succussing means banging onto a hard surface. I just always try to clarify for our listeners. And also, I was going to ask, do you ever put the pileals in food? Because that's something I get asked often when you're administering to animals.
So I do talk to my clients about food, right? Because we are taught, do not give it with food. However, I'm like, I treat all species of animals, and there are times then, you know, you don't want to stick your hand in a pig's mouth, right? Or another animal that you're, or even a dog that, or a cat that may not take it, you know.
It might be pretty frightened.
Right. So I have absolutely given it in a small bit of food, very small, like a pinch of something, you know. I remember one time having to work with some pigs, and I put it in like a grape tomato, a little tiny, you know, a small tomato, and gently pushing the remedy in there. And also, you don't want to touch the remedy, as far as I always say, you don't want to manhandle the remedy. you don't want to rub the medicine off of the pellet. So, but you can touch them just, you know, gingerly, and just kind of tuck it into whatever, and then give it to the animal that way. Yeah. But the preferred, you know, number one way to give it would be just to, if you can tap a couple pellets into that cap and down the chute, that's the better way, right into the mouth. But
yeah, I know with my dog, she just recently hurt her hip. She just goes crazy because we've got 16 acres and she loves running and going nuts, and she injured something. And I just lift up her top lip and just kind of throw it in by her gum, because she wouldn't open her whole mouth for me. But just even lifting up that lip and just getting the pileal there under the lip, between the gum and the lip, really, really helps. Yeah. So is there anything else that people need to be aware of when they're administering the remedies? Like, Do you ever experience aggravations with animals when you give homeopathy?
So you do. So I will talk to my clients about that as well. So, you know, if there's an aggravation, that we can see a heightened, their symptoms are exacerbated or heightened for a short amount of time. I have a lot of behavioral and or aggression cases. So when we talk about aggravations at the end of our consults, the people are always like, oh, you know, they're picturing Cujo is going to come out, but it's not always that bad. But and I tend to dose, to do a lower potency. I'm not one to like throw a high potency. And again, I really feel like our animals, through over vaccinating and then the poor nutrition, have a lower level of health anyway. So a lower potency, oftentimes like a 30C, sometimes I'll go to a 12C depending on the case. I get a lot of seizure cases, so I might even go lower potency for those cases. So a lot of times using those lower potencies anyway, we don't really see an aggravation as we would if we gave immediately like a 200C or a 1M or so, or something like that. So what would an aggravation look like? I mean, I get a lot of skin cases too, a lot of allergy cases. So those cases, oftentimes, you know, the animal might start itching more, you know, or their skin might be more intensely red or something like that for a short amount of time. So aggravations typically only last, you know, 24, maybe 48 hours. And then we can start the downslope of, you know, healing. But I always tell my clients too, an aggravation, it's such a negative word, you know, but it's such a positive thing in the homeopathic world. And I'm like, you know, I'm not cynical. If you have an aggravation, I'll be like, yay, that's a good thing. it really is, right? But
I think once you understand how the body is healing itself, like I always say to my clients, that when you're taking that remedy and you have an aggravation, it's because your vital force or your consciousness is actually bringing that complaint. Your vital force is bringing that complaint to your consciousness and saying, hey, do you remember this thing? We're just going to work with it right now. And yeah, helping people understand aggravations and how it's actually part of the process of healing kind of takes that scariness away from it. I mean, nobody likes to be uncomfortable or in pain, but it's your body sometimes needs to do that for you to heal itself. And it's usually only short-lived. Of course, you can't explain that to an animal, but if you explain that to the owner, then obviously that's going to help.
Right. Yeah. And it is short-lived compared to the amount of time that they've, you know, been dealing with an illness or, you know, disease. That 24, you know, 48 window isn't that bad compared to, you know, sometimes I get clients that they have said, I've done everything. I'm usually the last ditch effort. And, you know, it's, I've gone to the vet, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars and they can't figure this out. Oh, I had a case. So I have clients all over the world and I have a client in Switzerland. She came to me because her golden retriever lady had IBD and so irritable bowel disease. And she was very, very underweight, no matter what they fed. She'd gone to several vets, even a vet in Germany, and they all said, you know, this is something that she will live with for the rest of her life. I forget how old lady is. She's young, maybe 3 years old. So this is something she'll live with for the rest of her life, always having loose to diarrhea stools with blood in it. Mm-hmm. And they tried different foods and, of course, all the, you know, antibiotics and steroids and blah, blah, blah. So it's funny because she heard of me and she told her husband, I'm going to see this homeopath for animals in the United States. And her husband said, you're nuts. You're absolutely crazy. No, don't waste your money. And she said, no, I've heard great things about her. I'm going to try her. Well, lady has had beautiful stools. She no longer has IBD. It's been vet confirmed via x-ray. There's no more inflammation in her intestines. Her weight is up. She's beautiful, happy. And now her husband, you call Brenda for everything. If lady has a splinter, call Brenda.
Oh,
it's funny.
When the husbands are on board, then you know you're onto a good thing because they tend to be a bit more skeptical. But now that you've talked about your client in Switzerland, so talk to us a little bit about that. How does that work? So you don't need to actually see the animal?
I don't. So I've been treating remotely before COVID. I've been using Zoom and that's how we meet. I don't necessarily have to see the animal because being a homeopath, we don't need to, you know, palpate the animal. Sometimes it is useful to see the animal. And I do like to see the animal too. Like I like to see who I'm working with. if it's a skin case or if it's something that I need to see up close, then I'll ask the client to take a picture and preferably just text it to me, because then I can kind of blow it up and see it that way. Sometimes diagnostics are useful, but not always. So say if it's a heart case, you know, there are many different remedies that just treat the general heart. But if it's, you know, if we want to hone in a little bit deeper and say if it's a mitral valve prolapse or something like that, then that's always helpful too to figure out. Or if it's an eye case, you know, if I get a lot of eye cases. So I have another case and her dog had glaucoma. So it was great to have those readings and those pressure readings from the vet. And she went to the vet just to get the pressure readings and then worked with me remotely. And with homeopathy, we got the pressure down to normal. What? She brought the dog back to the vet to just get the next reading. And he said, "Oh my gosh, what did she do? This is amazing. I mean, her pressures were normal." So
that's absolutely incredible. And Brenda, do you ever find that the owners need similar remedies to the pets?
Yeah. So I also work with humans. The primary focus of my practice is with animals, but I did go to school too for the human side. So I am able to do that. And it's funny because a lot of people, so they'll come to me for their animals and then they'll say, "Oh, this stuff works. You know, can you help me with my family?" And a lot of times the animal and the people are on the same remedy.
Mm-hmm. I had to laugh because I had a client in, and I only treat humans, and I prescribed her arsenicum. And at the end of the consult, when I said, "I'm going to give you this remedy, arsenicum," and she burst out laughing. I was like, what? Why are you laughing? And she said, "Well, I've actually just taken my dog to an animal homeopath and she prescribed arsenicum for the dog." So
that
often there can be some similarities there.
Yeah.
Now, you've also written for the Dogs Naturally magazine, I think for a few years now, hey?
Yeah.
What are some common things, some common complaints that you have in dogs, and what sort of homeopathic remedies have you found as helpful?
So I think allergies is probably the number one. And so arsenicum is a good remedy, you know, for certain skin cases. If the dog is itching, especially at midnight and on, you know, the people are like, "Oh no, we're in bed." And then they really start scratching and they scratch until it bleeds. You know, we would look at arsenicum. And the dog is chilly, you know, arsenicum. And then sulfur is another, probably, you know, the main skin remedy, right? The dog is hot and has a lot of really red, stinky skin. Sterinum, another good remedy for skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a lot of behavioral cases. So aggression, anxiety, arsenicum, another good one for anxiety. So a lot of the Polycrest remedies are beneficial.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What sort of other things are you seeing a lot in dogs, especially? I'm just using dogs as an example because, you know, it's a pet that a lot of us have. But what sort of other conditions are you seeing and what remedies do you find useful?
And then stool, right? So we'll get a lot of diarrhea. See, I feel like the problem is that the dogs are getting over-vaccinated. So we have vaccinosis and then here come allergies, and then the dogs have skin issues. So if they're going to the vet, then typically the vets will prescribe steroids, antibiotics. And now we're working on, you know, we got to fix the gut, right? So it's kind of this vicious circle of we're cascading, you know, ailments, and then it goes into the stool, right? So we'll get that a lot too. So the diarrhea, arsenicum again, everybody should just have stock of arsenicum, sulfur. I don't know. Then, you know, then we've got belladonna too for aggression, stramonium, and that seizures. I had a lot of seizure cases. And
silica. Cuprin, yeah, for the seizures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Silica is a good one to have on hand when they have splinters and all sorts of things in their paws. Hey, I've got a few of those with our doggies.
Yeah, foxtails and yes. Thieves, like that. Yeah. Silica's great.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the mums in our group just recently paid, I don't know, something like $3,000 for an infection in the dog's paw. And she messaged me and she said, he's just got the same thing again. I just can't afford after Christmas, can't afford this operation again. And I was like, you know, just use some silica, use some Hepasulf and use some calendula. And, you know, 3 days later, she's like, oh my God, you've just saved me thousands. I'm so grateful. So our animals really respond so quickly to the remedies. It's very satisfying treating animals with homeopathy.
I love my job.
Yeah. I agree.
I
wonder, Brenda, can you share some stories for us from your clinic?
A friend of mine, actually, she's a naturopath, and she contacted me because her horse had severe sinus problem nonstop. And she tried everything. And she was like, Bren, you got to help me. And it was Napmure. And 5 days into Napmure, and I mean, he was blowing like green snot into his bucket nonstop. And this poor guy didn't feel good at all. 5 days into the remedy. And she's like, he's fine. He's absolutely fine. I had a little pony who had sweet itch. Do you have that? So yeah. So it's a seasonal allergy type of thing. And every spring he would break out in almost like hives and just constant itch, like any tree, you know, just go up and down. And they can itch themselves raw. And I feel like I'm the spokesperson for Arsenicum. And I remember he was going to ask me.
It's a good remedy. Everyone needs to have several bottles on hand.
Yeah. And then another really awesome case was this woman contacted me because her horse had diarrhea for years. Years. Yeah.
Sometimes wonder how could these animals still be alive, because you know your digestive system is so important to, you know, absorb all those nutrients, and if you've got diarrhea, it's just going through you. It's actually incredible.
Yeah. And he was another Arsenicum case, but he 3 days into that remedy, and it was the first time since she had him that he had normal stools.
Wow, incredible. Hey, my daughter has been horse riding for a couple of years, and her horse riding teacher, unfortunately, is a little bit more mainstream. And so you're constantly seeing the people and they're drenching the horses. And I just like gently nudging her, you know, homeopathy is so cheap and it's so effective and it works so fast and it's so great for your animal's health. So yeah, it's amazing. But I'm preaching to
And I like to tell people, yeah, I like to tell people too that, it, you know, when it's not come see me, you know, I mean, see any homeopath, but the more you use homeopathy, the more in balance you're going to be and the less you're going to need it or anything, you know? So it's incredible. And it is, and it's so cheap. And it's always the same story, right? I've spent thousands of dollars, and then they come to us and it's one consult, you know, maybe a follow-up or something, and everything is great. And they're like, wow. I had a follow-up today with a German Shepherd. And he had puncture wounds from, I said, did an animal get him? She said, the owner said, no, I think it was like they just had some pruning done on some trees. And she said, there's really sharp sticks and he will lie down on them. And so he got puncture wounds. Mm-hmm. So I told her to use Latum for that. And then also to wash it with some calendula. Make a solution with calendula, wash it, and then use some calendula cream. I'm not one for topicals, but something like that. A calendula cream is just, I mean, it's magic, right?
It is.
It really is. So pretty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing well?
He's doing well, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well. Mm-hmm. So, Brenda, what else can you tell our audience about homeopathy for animals? What is the message that you want to get across if somebody's perhaps considering using homeopathy on their animals? What are some things that they, you know, any last little things that you want to leave us with what they need to know or what message you want to get across?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so in love with homeopathy. I really am. And I'm still, I mean, it's been 23 years, I think, or close to 23 years that I've been using it personally. And then I've been in practice now for 7 years. And it still honestly gives me goosebumps and chills. And I clap and I'm so happy. And I'm like, I mean, it's just really, it's so rewarding. And to see the animals get better and feel better and be so, they're so thankful. They really, really are. And I think it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to safely, gently, and effectively heal you know, our animal friends, and who I feel like they all come to us as teachers. You know, we all have that teacher animal. And years and years ago, I tell people, I always loved Great Danes. Since I was 9 years old, I wanted a Great Dane. And when I was 25, I got my first Great Dane. And I was going to do everything right by that dog. And I took him to the vet for everything, got him vaccinated for everything. And I fed him Pedigree, which I don't know if you have that.
Yeah.
And
dry pellets.
It's not a good food at all. But that was what the vet had recommended. So I, okay, you know, what do I know? And fed him that. And my dog died when he was 3 years old from lymphoma. And I was devastated and I was heartbroken and I cried, gosh, for such a long time. But I realized something's not right. And it was that dog, Shane, that brought me on this journey. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here today. So he absolutely sent me on this journey and I started seeking, right? And then I found homeopathy and nutrition. And I just want to share that with people. And I want people to know that, you know, don't beat yourself up, right? For doing what you think is the right thing. And you know, going the allopathic way. And then they start realizing, wow, this isn't working. This is actually doing more harm than good. So homeopathy is, it, like you had said before, I mean, it's inexpensive. And a lot of people can find the remedies, you know, right in their store, which that's good and bad. So, you know, if I have a case and I need to send somebody to the store, that's a wonderful thing because they can start the remedy sooner than me sending it to them. However, it scares me a little bit because if the remedy is used incorrectly, then it's just not going to work. And then people might think, oh boy, homeopathy is just, you know, it's garbage. It doesn't work. And so I'm not going to use it anymore. So I'm really protective about it. And I want to share with people and teach them how to use it correctly. But I want them to use it. So I want to share that with people, like, you know, or get in touch with the homeopath, you know, or learn about it.
I agree. When you have that relationship with your homeopath and they can kind of guide you and empower you along the way. And once you're feeling confident, you know, to kind of take the reins in your own hands a little bit, then, you know, that's wonderful. But if you are just grabbing it off the shelf with no real idea of how to use it, you are probably going to be disappointed. So it's always best to just get that professional advice, especially at the start.
Yeah, for sure.
I had to just, as we were chatting, you would maybe think of this veterinary article. It was like a guideline for vets on vaccination. And one of it said that there is so many tumors that develop at the injection site that for cats, for example, they actually recommend vaccinating in the tail because it's easier to amputate the tail. So I was like, you guys are kind of not thinking this through. If there are tumors happening at the injection site, maybe look at why that's happening and kind of avoid that instead of just thinking, well, let's just inject in a different place and chop that part of the body off. So that whole mindset, I think, of mainstream, once that can change and they can kind of click into, okay, let's look at the body holistically. Why is this issue happening in the first place? And let's address that instead of just randomly going and chopping off body parts. I think we're really going to have major leaps in modern medicine when we can get our allopathic doctors to think that way, hey, more holistically. Mm-hmm. And our vets as well, and our dentists, and, you know, everyone else. Right. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Hahnemann, right? He was like, it's just, he wanted to get away from that barbaric way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Brenda, how do people get hold of you if they want to have a consult worldwide? It's 11 o'clock in the morning here in Perth, and I know it's 10 p.m. your time. Hey, I would be fast asleep by now. But, you know, obviously you can still have a consult with Brenda. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. So how do people get hold of you?
Yeah. So the easiest way is just hop on my website, which is wellnessmattersonline.com. And there's a book an appointment button. They can see my calendar and they can book an appointment that way. And then once an appointment is booked, I will send forms out to them and then we'll meet usually via Zoom. And, you know, I like to explain to first timers, the more detail, the better, because we have over 8,000 homeopathic remedies to choose from. So the more detail they give me, the better it is for me to choose the correct remedy. So
Well, actually, maybe we could just quickly add in there, what sort of things would you normally ask your animal clients? So what sort of things would people need to keep an eye out for before their consultation to be able to give you good information?
You know, always like, what is the chief complaint? What are you coming to me for? Regular basics, the age of the pet. And then I like to know, because as homeopaths, we like to go back, we like to connect the dots, you know, and find out what the root problem is. So I like to know the history if they know it. And then diet, I like to know what they're feeding, because that's the foundation of good health. So we go over nutrition too. And then your basic modalities, right? Do they like warmth or cold? The drinking, do they drink, then they go and just gulp, gulp, gulp? Or do they go and sip throughout the day? I ask about stool and eyes, you know, is there any discharge from the eyes, any discharge in the ears? And then odor, you know, I know you keep your dog clean, but is your dog a stinky dog? You know, you could bait your dog all the time and still have that, wow, my dog is really stinky. So things like that are really important to the homeopath.
And personality-wise as well, I'm sure.
Oh, personality for sure. Like, what are they, you know, how are they toward strangers? How are they toward, you know, do you have other animals at home? Yeah, definitely personality. Yeah,
for sure. Excellent. And for a little bit of fun at the end, I always ask my guests, what are your top three favorite homeopathic remedies and why?
Arsenicum album. I'm a true follower of Kent, where he said, make sure that you repertize every single case, right? I mean, not an acute if it's a, you know, something quick and easy, but I take that to heart because it is true. You know, you could go in, you don't want to have prejudice going in, right? So you, and so many times I'm like, oh, I almost feel like, oh gosh, yeah, oh gosh, it's Arsenicum again. Okay. You know, I feel like Arsenicum is attracted to me. So Arsenicum album, I really like it. And, you know, I would say Belladonna too. And sulfur. I think that those are the top. I'm looking at my remedies as I'm talking to you. I feel like those are like my top three.
Of what you would use in your clinic?
I think so. That's a hard question.
It is a hard one.
A good handful. There's probably 15, 20 remedies that I like. If I had to go to a desert island and I had to bring, you know, certain remedies, that I think that there's about 15 or 20 that I could not live without.
Completely agree. I have thought about scrapping this question that I ask at the end, but I haven't for a couple of reasons. One is that several of my listeners have actually said they really enjoy this part of the episode. And the other one is I love seeing a homeopath squirm trying to find those three remedies because I know it's really hard.
What are yours?
Oh, somebody asked me the other day, if I could only have three, it would have to be Arnica and it would have to be Aconite and it would have to be Nux Vomica. I think those are the three we use the most in our house. Just aconite for nipping colds in the bud, arnica because we're on 16 acres. So, you know, the kids are always getting hurt and the dogs are getting hurt. And just Nux Vomica for all those digestive things. And I really love Nux Vomica for me for sleep because I, you know, work hard, play hard person, go, go, go. And I can lie in bed and not be able to shut my mind off. And I'll have a dose of Nux Vomica and I'm out like a light. Like I've never taken pharmaceuticals for sleep, but I swear a pharmaceutical couldn't make me sleep as quickly as Nux Vomica can. It just shuts my brain off and I'm out.
Wonderful. So,
yeah. I think those would be my three if I was forced.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It was so lovely to connect with you, Brenda. And thank you so much for helping our feathery, furry, scaly friends. And please keep up your wonderful work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Bye.